a bite-sized chunk of your favourite show, the Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
I've been not doing anything. I've been living the dream
yeah.
for 2 weeks and possibly a little bit more as well because we had a few events on. And so I've been living large, been drinking what I want, been eating what I want.
Oh, right.
Been sleeping when I want.
You've thrown caution to the wind.
Oh, so much wind and so much caution. And the caution has flew back at me
yeah.
and hit me in the face.
Yeah. So it's like I'm peeing into the wind.
Yes. And I am just covered in it.
Yeah. Like a fresh produce section at Woolies.
Oh, my God. I saw that. Can we talk about that? Mm. Disgusting. Anyway, because I was on 2 week holidays and I did, like you said, I had sort of about 4 nights in the Barossa. Then we came back and then we spent five nights up in the hinterlands near Byron.
Yeah,
right. Between Ballina and Byron there. And, we did a lot of wine tasting, you know.
In the Barossa.
Yeah. But then, you know, I mean, once you become a wine connoisseur and I know what I'm looking for, then all of a sudden I'm just buying bowls of wine wherever I go.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Supporting local, you know.
So you took that to Byron or up that
yeah,
way. And then,
you know.
You're like, oh, no, we were buying bottles of wine last week, so let's keep doing
it. We're on a good thing. Let's just keep on keeping on.
We're those people now.
And, you know, what goes with wine? Cheese.
Yeah.
Cheese boards.
Yeah.
Mate, I never thought I'd say this, but I could not have another cheese board.
Oh, really?
I'm cheese boarded out.
Oh, my God.
Right? And so last night, I've decided to jump on ChatGPT.
Yeah.
And I'm like, can you please give me a meal plan that is dairy-free and gluten-free?
Oh.
Please, ChatGPT.
Cardboard. Eat cardboard.
I've got to get back on the cardboard lifestyle, mate.
Mate.
I've had too good a time.
No, dial it back. If you go from 100 to zero.
I've got to go to zero.
Too quickly.
I've got to go to zero.
You'll die.
I know. And then they sent me back something. I'm like, oh, that seems a bit. And I said, that's great. Thank you.
But make it less awful.
Can you make it like, you know, seasonal and for Australia, you know? Because I don't want to eat like weird, I don't know, you're giving me swordfish or whatever. I'm like, I don't know, whatever. And then they're like, yeah, no worries. Here, we'll do this. And so I got breakfast, lunch and dinner for 7-day meal plan on ChatGPT.
Nice.
I did have to ask them to sex it up a little bit. Okay. Now I'm getting things like grilled prawns with a mango salsa served with rice and steamed asparagus.
You're never doing that.
No, I might.
No, you won't.
No, but it's day one, mate. It's day one, so I have... You know?
Oh, the optimism in your heart.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. No, I believe
you. We don't know what will happen tomorrow. This might be my change. This might be the moment.
You are stopping at Macca's on the way home. 1,000%.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on KROQ 955 or online at krock.com.au.
As a parent, Lingy, you'll know this, that surprises come from everywhere. And when it comes to your kids, you have to sort of take responsibility for absolutely everything that they do and make, essentially.
Yeah, fair.
Right?
That's a fair assessment.
So I imagine they get to a certain age and that sort of stops being so much the case. Probably never stops completely being the case, but certainly when they're young like ours are, they're almost an extension of you as a person.
Yeah? Correct, yeah. Especially when they say things really loudly in front of people. Yeah. Like that's on you.
Yeah.
I was going back through the best bits while you were away, and that one where Jed was at the beach and yelling out about, why is there bathers in her
bum? Yes. So exactly good. Right.
It's exactly what Daddy was thinking. Sort of. Close anyway. So last night, we had just a quiet weekend, just a day at home yesterday. Went to the shops and that was about it. And just hanging out around the house. And you know, you spend the whole day around the house. The kids just sort of do their thing and play and go outside and inside. And you're not watching them all day because, you know, they're sort of safe in the confines of the house and they're playing.
Yep.
So you just sort of, if they're quiet, amazing.
If they're quiet, that's terrifying.
No, well,
if
it's like dead quiet, then you're like, okay, they're up to something. But if you can just sort of hear them or you walk past the bedroom and they're playing in their bedroom or whatever, you sort of,
Happy days. Yes. Just sit down. Take a moment for yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, I do jobs.
So, yeah. You're a better man than me.
I'm doing stuff around the house.
So lazy, Lingy.
That's fair.
So I don't know exactly what the girls were doing all day yesterday, but but I assume this is their fault. And
we'll be the judge of that, well, Thomas.
And so it was bath time or getting close to bath time last night, and I went into the bathroom and one of the girls was up sort of in front of the sink and looking in the mirror and doing something with her hair or whatever, and I was like, oh, hey, you know, but whatever, ow, what's that? And like wiped something off the sink. So our sink is like raised above the bench,
yeah,
white porcelain, whatever. And so it was sort of on the outer front edge, the corner of it. There's just a little like bit of muck or something. And I thought, oh, that's not supposed to be there. So I just like wiped it up with my finger and then ran it under the tap. And then I sort of waved my hand past my face. And I was like, oh, that doesn't smell right.
Oh,
is this where?
And so then I smelt it properly. And it was legit poop.
Oh.
There's just a little, just the tiniest little.
I'm so sorry. I can't be here.
So in terms of like, it'd be maybe the front quarter of a teaspoon worth. So not much at all.
Up on, it'd been on the bench.
On the sink. On the sink. On the sink. Oh, yeah.
We've got to start like this.
Yeah. On the front.
We've literally just come like, back.
Welcome back.
Mate, slice of life. And
so many questions.
So I was like, what? And I was like, okay, I'll wash my hands. And is that, as you were saying before, about if you spill milk on something like that, the smell doesn't go away. Just, so I washed my hands like 3-4 times and then also sanied them.
With
and
bleach?
Finally. Like, yeah, finally the sani was enough to get the smell away.
How did it get there?
Interesting question.
That's my main one.
Yeah. So Indy didn't know anything about it. And I said to Goldie, I was like, did you have an itchy bottom? Did you put your... And she was like, no. And neither of them sort of knew anything about it.
Deny.
Yes.
I said to Carly, I was like, did you have an itchy bottom? I mean, she denied. Obviously, she said, well, so someone's put their hand down their nappy or their pants and they've, yeah. But that is bad enough, having the little chunk there, right? And having touched it and whatever, right?
Oh, my.
It's fine. I made my peace with that. But it's like, if that got there, then there had to be something else that had poop on it.
Yeah.
Oh, the mystery.
And I do not. I looked and I hunted and I could not find where that poop had come from.
So we're not talking a case of a reverse kanga up on the bench.
No, none of that. None of that.
It's so nice and cool. That porcelain.
Just the porcelain on the bum. The mystery poop. The mystery continues.
When you said you did investigations, did you go into like nappies? Did you search?
Well, there was no poopy nappies. We already knew that.
But there
was no like poopy hands either. So,
there's a present lying for you somewhere in the
house. Yeah, I know, right? And when I find it, I will let everyone know about it. Don't you worry about that.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au.
I went to the Barossa on a bit of a family trip with Jimmy James's family for his dad's 70th birthday. It was a surprise. And then Jimmy and I went to the hinterlands for 5 nights, right? And we decided to hire a car when we went to the hinterlands and drive around a few different areas. So we went... it's about 20 minutes southwest of Byron where we were staying.
Beautiful.
But we went about an hour south to Yamba. I don't know if you've ever been around there
great
before.
Spot.
Beautiful. They had a market there and everything. We went down there.
Good
and then,
pub too.
Yeah, yeah. And like that. And a good place to get pies. We went and got a world famous pie in Wardell. I don't know. You know when people are like world famous? It was pretty good pie.
Every town has a
pretty good pie.
World famous pie.
Anyway. But we did go to the Eltham pub, which is also inland from Byron. And this is one of those pubs, it's an old pub.
Mm.
But what they've done is that they've got in some like really good chefs. And now it's kind of like a foodie destination with an old pub vibe.
Okay.
Right? So, and they have like different live music events and everything. So we saw this on the Wednesday. What they have is that they have an Irish folk music group that get together in the back area and they play Irish folk music for like 2 hours, three hours. Wow. Right?
Talking my language here.
Right? Yeah. So Jimmy and I like get us to this pub. We rock up. There's dogs everywhere as well, all off leash. Like you go in the pub and there's just a dog there. Like,
did they all just swarm to you? Did they know that you were like,
a dog did sit on my foot and then his owner was trying to leave and I was like, nah, you're not going anywhere. I'm patting your dog. But it was great. There were families there. There were young people, old people. It was really cool vibe.
This is where you were filming people eating, weren't you? Well,
I was filming the Irish folk band behind the people eating, but then, and I uploaded it to Insta, and Tom's like, why are you filming people eating? I'm like, why wouldn't I film people eat? But I was filming the band, Tom. Oh, had you watched it with sound, it probably would have made more sense.
Yeah, I don't.
Anyway, at one point, I was sitting there alone because Jimmy had gone up to the bar, and I was sitting there on the table just really enjoying my drink and enjoying the music.
Mm.
And then this guy comes over.
Yeah.
He comes over the table.
Yeah.
And he goes, are you here with anyone? And I was like,
not anymore.
Stop it. Now, he was 50.
Yeah.
Right? That's fine. And I said, no, I'm here with my fiance. And he's like, oh. And he's like, do you mind if I just take that extra chair? And then I went back into the place that I've always been, back into my shell. But why would you ask that?
That's a funny way to word it.
Are you here with anyone? Excuse me, just say, are you using this chair? That is what we say. The Tom, Lingy
and Loggy podcast. Both of us have been away, Log. I headed up north, North Queensland. Far North Queensland.
FNQ.
Yes, and had a fantastic trip. Went to Palm Cove. Have you been?
No.
No, it's about half an hour north of Cairns. So genuinely warm. It was quite delightful. I loved it. My skin certainly responds well to that sort of climate.
It sure does.
As you can imagine. But on the trip, we most of the time it was just kind of a relaxing bit of pool, bit of beach, just hanging out. But we did a day trip. And we went up, it's about a 25-30 minute drive further north and inland a little bit to a crocodile zoo. Take a deep breath, Lord.
Is it a farm or a zoo?
Well, I don't think they can call them farms anymore, can they?
Darwin, there's a croc farm, isn't it?
Okay, maybe. Yeah. It's a conservation sort of thing as
well. No, they make handbags and shoes. They do.
Do you know what? I'm not deep going breath, to bite. Sea bass.
It was sensational.
Did they look happy?
Yeah, well, yes. And that it was a big, they weren't just in little pens and things like that. It was a full, like it had waterways and
okay.
You know, that massive area, over hectares.
If you don't know to never smile at a crocodile, then you weren't raised right.
Okay.
That's exactly right. And they had all the dangerous snakes, and they'd put on shows with those. Saw a coastal taipan. Like, I was loving it.
Yeah.
Komodo dragons.
Yeah.
It remind you of Bali footy trip days?
No, that was Thailand when we fought the cobra.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it wasn't quite as crazy as that. And I was a lot more sober this time around. But
should just acknowledge that wasn't, you didn't go to a venue where you could pay to fight a cobra. You accidentally, it popped up and you had to to save your own life. Yeah.
No, it was actually in the wild, on the loose. Yeah. We shouldn't have been anywhere near it. We should have ran rather than
sorry fall. That I brought up that whole thing.
That's okay, Log.
I'm sorry.
As part of it, you jump into a little boat. So this is how big it is. So you go down these waterways and that, and they take you around and point, there's croc there, there's croc there. They do the feeding thing, absolutely. But, you know, so you spend a lot of time in Darwin.
Yeah.
You spend a lot of time in Townsville.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say those who live a certain point north in Australia have a certain type of humour. And, you know, there's a little bit of... would I say redneck-y sort of vibe? Yeah. Is that fair without being
disparaging?
They're
a little bit country, that's for
a little
sure.
bit country, there we go. I like that. Yeah. This guy was taking us around and he'd tell us the names of the crocodiles.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
Pure gold. Had my kids in stitches.
Really?
Oh, it was brilliant. And this one, appreciate one, he said, he goes, that one over there, we we picked it up from Townsville. It was coming onto people's properties. Oh, you know what its nickname was?
What?
Crackhead.
Oh. You can't do that. You can't do that.
That's horrible.
How are you taking him to the park?
That's horrible for the croc.
Yeah, poor croc.
I could have called him Cracky. I mean, that sounds a bit more croc-style.
So I thought a former Townsville resident would appreciate that one.
Yeah.
They threw a couple of barbs at Australia Zoo.
Yeah.
And there was a couple really moving around quite active, and he said, oh, you know, it's great there. Our crocs are actual active crocs. They love doing things. If you want to see, like, fat, lazy ones who do nothing, you could head to Australia Zoo. Shots fired by the Cairns crew. I like that one. And then there was one, and this got the kids, went straight over their head. Yeah. No idea. Thought it was the worst gag of the whole thing. Dodsey and I were in stitches.
Okay, just getting on the dump button there, Tom.
I'm ready to go.
Because we all know what their humour's like.
Headed past this one croc, and the guy goes, that croc used to be, when we first got it, was so well fed. It was just the fattest croc you've ever seen. Now it's super skinny, so we've decided to call it Oprah. And I were in stitches.
I would just like the record to show that I am not laughing right now, nor have I ever.
You have a smile. The Tom, Lingy
and Loggy podcast. We mentioned briefly on air a while ago olive oil.
Olive oil, yeah. I love it. I have it with every meal, basically.
No, but I had like, you know, you get like a 2-litre bottle or whatever.
Yeah.
In between, like in the time that it took for me to use that bottle, the price of olive oil just like exploded.
It's like $50. I buy it in the big barrel.
Of course you do.
Well,
because then you can refill it from your own sort of. Anyway,
I do not have a secret stock of. I'm Macedonian. I need a barrel.
So I went looking for another sort of, even like just a 600, 700 ml bottle or something, and it was, or 500 ml, looking like $20 for a bottle. I was like, how is that?
Yeah.
For olive oil.
Look at you rolling your eyes. 500 ml, that's like one meal.
Mate, seriously, I agree. Yes.
Yeah.
I use a lot of olive oil.
Yeah.
And I don't care if the doctor's like arteries, whatever, that. Excuse me, I'm immune because I'm Mediterranean. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, people are like, oh, eggs are more expensive because there's bloody bird flu coming through. Like, what's the, as I've said this on air before, what's the flu for bloody olives that is causing the price to shoot up? Anyway, apparently there is a specific Australian olive oil that is available in a supermarket in New York's Lower East Side.
Okay.
Is that a good bit of New York or a bad bit of New York?
Nah, it's cool.
Let's just say, yep.
Yep, okay.
Well, Upper East Side is the fanciest part.
Lower East Side's cool.
Yeah, I reckon all of it's cool.
Yeah, cross the bridge.
All right, I'm glad I asked. So there's a supermarket owned by the family behind Aldi, and they're selling 500 ml bottles of Red Island extra virgin olive oil, and it's branded like Australian olive oil, extra virgin, smooth and fruity profile and nutty. Delicately tannic finish. Wow. Essentially, that's
beautiful.
That used to be your bio before you met Jimmy James. That was your bio on the dating websites,
wasn't it?
That's
it. Not so smooth.
So they're charging for that $7.99 US, which translates to $11.89 a bottle. But here in Lara, just north of Geelong, it's actually in this article.
Oh, wow.
At Woolies, it'll set you back $13. So we are paying more.
For
Australian olive oil.
By $2?
By a couple of bucks.
It's a bloody outrage,
but it's been shipped all the way over there.
Yeah.
And they put it on a boat or a plane or a train, probably not a train.
Not a train.
And sent it all the way to New York, and still Woolies are like, don't look at us, guys. We have lots of factors that we have to work with to decide the prices of our products.
Mm.
Isn't that ridiculous that we're paying more?
Explain. Core blimey. Nah, I've gone too far.
Yeah.
Still trying to work out Loggy's dating's website. Is it really extra virgin olive oil? The Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast. Our resort where we were staying on holidays, one guy was rocking a good pair of budgie smugglers.
Yeah.
Bright pink, wearing them well. But I was standing there watching. You couldn't help but watch when he came walking through.
No, that's right.
Well, it sounds like he was blocking the sun as he walked past.
Oh, my God. All bodies are beach bodies.
Don't know where to look.
Right. They are.
Right, Log. But I did, it just made me think, why? What is the attraction to wanting to wear Speedos?
Instead of boardies. That's what you
Instead of boardies, yeah. Just rocking a nice comfy pair of boardies. That's enough.
I think, though, when boardies get wet, sometimes, you know, if it's the wind comes past or whatever, there's a bit of, I feel like with a budgie smuggler, it's all pushed up, you know.
Are you saying that boardies can become a little see-through at times?
Boardies can become a bit
too much definition.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's at least one point to be brought up, because I couldn't think of anything, because I was like, why? Why are you not swimming laps in the pool and looking for aerodynamic support?
Yeah,
just
why?
Tell me just, why. Yeah. Help me understand.
Tell me why.
Maybe Diane from Finesford can help us understand. Morning, Diane.
Morning, guys.
What do you think about Speedos?
I think a lot of things about Speedos. But sounds like a bit of a train wreck feeling where you know you shouldn't look, but you just can't help yourself.
That's exactly right, Diane.
We were over in New Zealand a few years ago for a volleyball masters, and one of the boys needed some favours. So he and his partner went off, and they went in, and he goes to the lady, I need some new budgie smugglers. And his partner looks at him and he goes, oh, darling, you don't need budgie smugglers. You need cockatoo smugglers.
High praise indeed.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Why don't you get this podcast again sometime? And listen on air at KROQ 955, weekday mornings from 6.